Dun, 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 dun. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sexying up the.
Yeah.
They sexied it up a little bit, so I am too.
Oh, little, some licks in there.
I love it. X-Men 97, it's on Disney Plus. It's dropping every week. I think we're having too much fun watching it. Personally, yeah. I'm rewatching it. I'm
daily.
It's like, oh, I'll just go back and watch it again. It's 20 minutes. It's in and out. And X-Men 97, it's fresh. It's sharp. Episode 3 of season 1. We are here talking about it before we talk about episode 4 and after we talk about episode 2. That's how numbers work.
Yeah, that's how episodes work.
And we got the recaps here. I want to get right into the story. The cliffhanger, spoiler alert for episode 3, X-Men. Someone give me that title of the episode.
Fire Made Flesh.
Fire Made Flesh. What was the cliffhanger of episode 2? There's a Jean Grey clone.
A Jean Grey shows up at the door of the X-Mansion.
I need the X-Men. I fall into Morph's hands.
We don't know.
There's a Jean and
what's going on.
Cyclops have had a baby.
Yeah.
And this is it. This is the cliffhanger. This is the X-Men. They're discovering this. And it gets right into who is behind this other Jean.
Yeah.
You guys want to jump to it?
Sure.
Mr. Sinister. Here he is. Episode 3. I didn't know how long we'd wait. We heard mumblings of this guy coming around. This is it. This other Jean Grey. There's a big back and forth, right?
We don't know.
Who are you? Yeah. Like, what is this?
You're Jean Grey? No, I'm Jean Grey.
The Jean Grey that we know, that's been here the whole time, had the baby.
Right.
She starts reading the new Jean Grey's mind, and there's memories missing, right?
All the faces.
The faces
Jean Grey
are missing.
Faces are blank.
Yes, and Scott is very much like, we got to figure out what's going on. Let's do some tests.
Yeah, and the baby, the Jean Grey who had the baby, is like, what do you mean we need to have some tests? I'm your wife.
Charles was here. He'd believe
right.
me.
Sure.
I'm just going to go to my room. She gets the baby. The baby monitor starts getting a little whisper. Jean Grey. Are you Jean Grey?
Right. Are you Jean Grey?
And Beast in the lab to Scott and to Wolverine, I think. Or Jubilee. Someone was with him, but it's definitely Scott. And he goes, we have to get to Nathan, your son, the baby. And Scott right. goes, why? And Beast goes, because somebody I know who figured out, I figured out who has been after you guys. And let's just say he's sinister.
Sinister.
And I just thought, my God, he really...
really on the nose with that
yeah.
one.
And not only that, but taking so long to say it, even though like this baby's in danger. And Scott's like, okay, I gotta get to her. And he is right. Sinister's there, kind of reveals himself to the Jean Grey. It says, I made you. You can call me father. And it's time for you to wake up. And he starts like waking up her eyes and something's happening. But he starts taking over the whole house. Like, you know, he makes people see all sorts of stuff. Morph starts to like kind of flirt with Wolverine in the shower.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need me to help scratch you? And he like does Wolverine claws.
Yeah.
And he's like, Wolverine's like, always with the jokes. And
Bub.
And then it's sinister, and he's like, and Morph's like, no, not again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's traumatized for sure.
These are callbacks to the original, right? Like,
yeah.
he was kidnapped by him. He got brainwashed.
Sinister saved him after everyone thought he died in the, first or second episode. And basically, he was Sinister's bitch.
And he, yeah, made him
for seasons.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And Morph was just always showing up being so creepy with that creepy smile. And it was always sinister.
And the bags under his eyes.
And dude, let's just talk about the show being upgraded. Sinister looks so fresh. Like, just looks awesome. The trippy stuff in the house that he does, he like makes a couple of the toys come to life.
Yeah.
And it looks like very like big eyeballs. Very like, the artwork was just really good.
Yeah. We've got Jubilee and Roberto sitting on the couch watching a movie, and the character starts crawling out of the screen and shape-shifting.
Coming right at him.
Yeah.
These two, like, they can't catch a break. You know, they'll end up having a real excitement in episode 4.
Yeah,
just a little teaser.
18.
Gambit sees his worst nightmare.
Do what?
Gambit sees his worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Rogue and Magneto.
Like, their flesh just melting together. This is where it gets, like, kind of adult, right? Like, it's, like, they're kind of naked, and, like, their skin's,
they
like,
start,
melting.
They start, like, melding together.
Yes.
Like, it's a real, like, moment.
He's like, oh, Shantae.
Yeah.
Something.
Oh, Cher.
a very sexualized episode, because then you have the transformation of Jean Grey into the Goblin Queen.
Ooh, and... that, I mean, yeah, the big reveal. Yeah. Here it is. Take over her eyes. I am the Goblin Queen. New hair. Hey, Nathan, it was my like, baby, you're
lingerie.
Coming. I'm your mom. I got the black suit on. Here we go.
It was like one of those anime schoolgirl transformations into like the superhero girl, where it's like the clothes are changing. We're very sexualizing the way we're moving and showing this happening. I was on a plane. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You were on a plane watching this?
Oh, yeah. I downloaded it. Yeah, I downloaded it.
All right, so Madeline Pryor reveal. I mean, Scott, what are you feeling during this big reveal? The power's coming in. And like, okay, I'm taking the baby. I'm going to battle the X-Men. Here we go.
I mean, I sent you guys a photo when I was at the comic book store the other day, like Tuesday. Like, this, all of this stuff is ripped straight from Chris Claremont's run in the 80s and 90s. Like, this was pretty accurate.
I that's crazy, because like, to me, as like just a fan watching this, I'm like, what an epic clone character of Jean Grey. And the battle, let's just talk about like where it goes. Like, this battle gets so big. Scott, and she's taken on all the X-Men. Magneto like comes into play, and
he's like ripping the iron out of the stained glass windows.
And we get some of the best comic book like writing. These lines are so good. Like, you brimstone clone, he says. And she's like, oh, your powers of magnetism are epic as ever, but my powers are beyond all matter. You know, it's like, oh my God. Like, this is like just, it's music for the ears, honestly. Like, I really do like it. Like, it might be cheesy, but I'm really into it for some reason. Like, it's just, it's working. It's like 1997, right?
Yeah.
This is how superheroes would, like, talk to each other in the 90s. But pretty epic battle. Scott shoots her in the face, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And she wipes her lips with the red.
With the blood.
And back at the X-Men compound.
Gene.
OG.
Is, yeah.
All right, so Beast
we
reveal.
We find out, here's the DNA test.
Here's the deal.
Yeah. You're the real Jean, and the other one's the clone.
Because
basically.
Because you're older.
Right.
This one's younger. Okay, so older OG Jean, we now know. You know, Madeline Pryor is, she doesn't say her name is Madeline Pryor. She's the Goblin Queen.
Yeah.
The Goblin Queen, you know. Or OG Jean is getting talked to by Logan, Wolverine, and we have this really hot, like I said, hot. This really hot moment between, you know, Logan's been after this girl forever.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, which Logan are we talking about here?
Yeah. Carrie's on the other side of this curtain. You're going to get me in trouble. Logan Wolverine, which one, right? And he says, she can't remember anything. She's just like, I don't know. She's frantic. He says, look in my mind only and focus on just my one thing. And she sees, and she goes, oh my gosh, you care that much about me? And he's like, yep, that's right.
Always, bub.
And he kind of like gets his moment, which is cool. And this brings her back, and she is like, I'm going to go help.
I got to go help.
And she does.
And he was like, you can't leave. And she was like, I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, and my body won't be at risk.
Yeah.
And she takes her body. She goes save Scott, interrupts like Madeline, the Goblin Queen, from torturing him. And it's an epic battle between two genes.
Yeah.
This is
in the mind.
Oh my God. And it was epic. It was very grand. You know, Jean Grey, like, it's me. I'm the one who was the Dark Phoenix. I'm the one that, you know, overcame and came back and did all these things. She's like, because the Goblin Queen says to her, like, I am the most powerful. I'm the more powerful than you. And Jean Grey, the OG Jean Grey, is that all you remember? Is that all you remember is power? Don't you remember your relationships? Don't you remember the love? Don't you remember
We are the origin of our powers, first meeting Professor X. You know, how she, like, did she kill her friend or save her friend? I don't from the like a car crash.
I don't remember.
You
quite.
Don't remember that?
I think saved.
But they do some flashbacks to this. Flashbacks. They show it. Yeah. They show the flashback of, saving a kid, the car, like pulling up and like, you remember this part of doing this good thing? And Goblin Queen is playing the other side of the coin where she's like, do you remember any of these people? You don't even remember, you know? And they do this is the craziest scene in the whole show of this episode where she's like, don't you remember this? And she shows a baby coming through like a big mind womb, like in the sky. and was like, it was like a baby Nathan, and they were just like next to the baby in the womb. You guys remember this? You guys seeing this?
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah.
I was taken back. I was like, whoa. I was like, we're inside of a, like, Jean Grey right now.
Right. Whoa.
I know, but like her belly, her like baby belly. Okay, so our Jean ends up overcoming the other one. I forget how.
There's,
but it's just like,
where she's like, oh, it's all about the baby.
My favorite part was when she,
yeah,
the blood on her lips.
And then she like
just absolute savage.
Jean Grey is gonna stay, and Madeline Pryor. Okay, so they defeat Sinister, right? Okay, yeah. This is big. Sorry, it's all coming back to me.
Yeah,
Celine Dion right now. It's all coming back to me now. Okay, here we go. Sinister made the clone and then kidnapped the baby Nathan. And baby Nathan's like in this. I mean, it looks like a Bacta tank.
Yeah,
it's
like a tube.
It's a big green tube with water. Tube. And the Goblin Queen, the clone, Madeline Pryor, comes around after the psychic battle with Jean, and it's like, I am. Yeah. I love Scott. I love this baby. You said it, like this baby like came through, bust in, shoot Sinister. They wound him bad, but he scurries and gets away. But he says to them, "You messed up big time, busting this tube out," because the baby was in the middle of like a transformation, and when they take Nathan out, like a metal takeover thing starts sticking around his neck.
Techno organic virus.
And no one around here can save us. No one knows the technology. Beast can't do anything. Luckily, they've just fixed Bishop's time cuff. And the only solution is to send this baby to the future for a future cure. Bad news is it only has enough juice for like two people. It can't take multiple people.
One jump.
And Scott looks around the room and he goes, "Don't any of you know what it feels like to be abandoned?" And I was like, this show is so heavy. Like, it's, he goes, "I can't be part of this."
Yeah.
And he just
and
walks
then he abandons
off.
His baby. Instantly.
Instantly abandons the baby. And Jean takes the baby and does like a little like imprint, like psychic imprint.
That was Madeline.
No. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That
yeah,
makes sense.
It's the mom.
It's the mom that
Jean has no connection to this baby at all.
I didn't birth the baby. So Madeline does this psychic imprint of like, always remember that we love you. Always remember me. Always remember Scott. Like, always remember this happened. I mean, this is a newborn baby, like literally born days ago. And then they hand it to Bishop. And
no diaper bag.
Yeah, no, you said it. No diaper bag. No supplies. Just like baby.
No formula.
Bishop's got his laser gun and a baby, and he goes to the future. Madeline. All right, Jean Grey are outside the mansion, and she's like,
a little heart to heart.
And she says it,
we don't know when.
Who was switched.
We were replaced.
We don't know who was the Dark Phoenix. We don't know who went through all that. We don't know who married Scott, even. However, clone Jean, you know, the new one, is like, I'm bailing.
I'm going to abandon him.
I'm not Jean. You are. Yeah, I'm going to abandon him. And I'm going to see the world, and I don't have my kid anymore. So, like, I was always trying to leave.
Yeah.
Which she was, like, from day one.
Yeah, she was trying to get Scott to leave.
And then she says, call me Madeline Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Madeline Pryor that you guys know from the comics. Maybe more to come.
Of course. And of course more to come.
And we get this amazing, amazing, just, like, adult real scene. Like, Jean comes back in the bedroom, and Scott's in there. And they're just like all the way opposite sides of each other from the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's just dark, like the lights are off, and it's just quiet. Like there was no sound. And then they transition to Storm in a bar with
Forge.
Forge says, "Hey, man, love the desert. Wish the weather'd change around a little more or something." And Storm's like, "Speak your words truly.
Speak plainly.
Plainly." He's like, "I want to help you get back what you lost."
How Storm got her groove back.
Episode 3. End.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. X-Men. All right, dude. Can't wait for episode 4. Before we do that, though, I think we got to say bye to Dan because he hasn't seen it.
Dan, what'd you think about that episode?
Yeah, let's do a round table. What do you think of X-Men so far, Dan? What'd you think of that episode?
Still love it. It leaves me with a couple moral questions to think about. One, did Scott Summers cheat on Jean Grey? Does that count?
Oh yeah,
no,
like if you get seduced by your wife's twin, is it really cheating?
No.
You heard it here, folks.
No. He didn't know.
Not cheating.
He didn't know. He was just like.
Exactly. He didn't.
He literally just thought it was her.
More importantly, because of the Morph Beast shower scene, is anybody having a relationship with Beast? Is that bestiality? Because he is
yes.
Beast.
I mean, technically, it is bestiality. Just like that one beast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you love Beast, is it like, are you a furry?
Yeah. I think you're definitely a furry.
Dude, I loved it. It was so fun.
Yeah, this was a great episode.
Yeah.
I mean, the awesome. Goblin Queen versus Magneto was just fun and energizing. And Cyclops, like, I'm still into all of it. I mean.
What I liked was when Morph changed into magic, and then I thought to myself, like, magic exists in this universe. Like, I knew from the previous seasons, Colossus's sister, Illyana, was, like, in it. But I don't know that we ever saw her as magic.
I don't think we did.
And all not even magic, but also her other character, Darkchild, when she like went crazy and devilish and had the devil horns.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
That happened in the episode 3?
Yeah, while they were fighting Goblin Queen, Morph turned into magic. She had the sword.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like the queen of hell or something at one point.
Yeah, for sure.
What'd you think, Andy?
Wow. Loved it. Honestly, this is one of my top two favorite episodes so far. I think it's just they keep laying the seeds for what's to come and later in the season, I think. And man, I'm so excited. Wednesdays are I'm like you guys. I watch it Wednesdays like first thing, and then I have to throw it on Saturday just because that's just what you do.
Yeah, it's nice Saturday morning. Like I'm just gonna watch a brand new show of X-Men.
Like I actually like feel like I'm like treating myself.
Yeah, it does. It does feel
treat
like
yourself.
That.
I need Nightcrawler to show up. He was my favorite from this show.
Yeah.
I just thought he looked so cool.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. We need a lot of characters to show up.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get it. I think you'll get I think we're going to get some stuff.
They got to. They'll get there. We're still got, what, how many episodes in the season? There's 10 total, so.
I
think there's going to be 10, right?
Nine, I thought it was. 9 or 10.
There's 10. The last is a three-parter. So
okay. Yeah.
We're
so
ending on
we
May
15th. We still got
May
six 15. Episode, folks.
May 15th's the last one.
Six
so
weeks left.
Strap in.
That's so fun. That's great. 6 weeks of X-Men. That's awesome. We'll be right back. Whether you're visiting or live here in town, Fortuna Games is your go-to spot for tabletop gaming in St. Louis. Located at 2632 South Kings Highway Boulevard, right across from Tower Grove Park, Fortuna Games offers Magic, Pokemon, Lorcana, board games, supplies, and more. Open Wednesday through Saturday. Visit online at fortunagames.net or find them on Facebook and Instagram. You can also call 413-367-8862 or email fortuna@fortunagames.net. And remember, tell them Mostly Superheroes sent you. Hey squad, Logan here from Mostly Superheroes, wanting to talk to you today about some real life heroes. Team Jakey, headquartered here in St. Louis, Missouri. They're turning the tragedy of losing their beloved Jake Zeller into life-changing action. Not just by making a difference, but by saving lives. Team Jakey supports both the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and Provident Behavioral Health here in St. Louis. Join us at their annual Gentleman Jake Memorial Cornhole Tournament. It's more than just a game. It's a community coming together to lift each other up with some of the world's best prizes. If you're feeling down or know someone who is, Team Jakey's here with a message of hope. Reach out by calling 988. You can also visit www.afsp.org or text TALK to 741-741. You're not alone, and there's always a way forward. Someone's waiting for your call or text message. Search for Team Jakey on Facebook and learn more at www.mostlysuperheroes.com/give. Every bit helps, and together, we can make a difference. All right, back to the show. Okay, X-Men 97. We just covered episode 3. Jean Grey, the clone, faced her own identity. Storm lost her powers in episode 2, met Forge. Big cliffhanger. We're here on episode 4, Motendo / Life Death, part 1. This was a really interesting episode. They had two big stories.
Yeah,
in this
two
one.
Parts, basically.
Really liked how they did it. Let's just talk about the first part. The X-Men are at the house. They're hanging out. It's Jubilee's birthday. everyone thinks that Jubilee's, it's her 18th birthday. She deserves a big day off. But, you know, Magneto, the new boss, isn't having it. He's like, everybody's got to train. All right, we got to be training. And Jubilee doesn't get to go to the arcade like she wanted to. Well, she's hanging out with, help me out,
Roberto.
Sunspot. And they're in her room hanging out, and she wants to play some video games, and she's trying to, like, find a way to maybe go do that and talking to Roberto. And on the desk, on her TV, is a game called Motendo.
Looks fun.
And she goes, I've never heard of this. Oh, they Rogue mentioned there'd be some surprises for me. This must be it. And the game comes on by itself, and all of a sudden, out of the TV, these cables grab Sunspot, Roberto
Da Costa.
And I'm like, man, these two can't watch a TV without something coming out of it.
Yeah.
Like, again.
It's a problem. It's a real problem at the X-Mansion.
These cables take over Roberto and Jubilee and suck them into a video game. And it's based on Jubilee's, like, memories and life, it seems like. She's like, oh, this seems really familiar. Who's behind it?
Mojo.
Mojo is back.
Mojo.
The TV-producing cosmic entity, yeah, that makes the X-Men fight against crazy villains for fun is back. And as he tells you, I've moved on from TV. I've moved into video games. It's where the future lies, you know, for sure. Welcome to the video game for you, Jubilee. And Jubilee's like, you've lost a bunch of weight. And he's like, thank you for noticing. And he is. He's like half the size, yeah, that he was.
Skinny.
He's totally skinny for a minute.
Right.
And lost his mojo.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, he becomes the big mojo again.
Right. It was all fake.
And Jubilee's memories are the one that he's tapped into. He's built this whole game around his favorite X-Men, Jubilee. He's like, nothing's more X-Men than you. And she battles her way through a lot of her memories.
We had some Genosha stuff.
Yeah, we go to Genosha, different parts of the... A lot of callbacks to the original series, I think.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Oh, she's like, oh, I was trapped here with Storm once.
Yeah.
She battles Magneto. There's a lot of, like, throwbacks to, like, old school video games and, like, how the fights worked and, like, how the writing would work. And
One-ups
and boss patterns, stuff like that. You're going to, like, video game nerds, like, you're definitely going to have a good time in this.
Even just, like, the music, just they turned it into kind of like a video game, like, 8-bit. Version of the theme song and just use that throughout the whole time, and it was just really cool.
That was pretty epic. That made me feel like I was playing like a big part of a video game.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, Scott, during this Jubilee video game sequence?
Yeah, that was super awesome.
Like just colorful.
I want that video game.
There's some epic X-Men video games, so it's just kind of brought me back to like playing those
old,
as a kid.
Yeah, it was really a take on the old like stand-up arcade, the four-person side-scrolling slash and
I didn't have a Motendo, thankfully.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You don't want one.
No.
It doesn't sound like.
I know.
I kind of want one.
Yeah, hook me in.
Put me, yeah.
It's like hook me all the way
Jack
into it.
Jack me in. I want the cables to pull me into the TV.
I mean, for the 90s, that was, Jubilee was really freaking out. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what? She kind of showed a cable.
Right.
You know? All right. So, this is crazy. There's a couple people in play here. Who is this A-armed lady?
Oh, that's Spiral.
And she's, like, battling Mojo and helping a little bit. You give little teases. We'll come back to Spiral.
Yeah.
The main person that shows their face to Jubilee is another Jubilee that's, like, 40 years older.
Yeah, other Jubilee.
She's like, oh, he made beta versions of the game, and there was a lot of clones of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm the last one, and I've been playing the games the whole time. This is insane. I was like, okay. This person's been living in this video game for however many years. Helps Jubilee win, and then...
Way better powers.
They team up. They do a superpower. They hit Mojo. They blast Mojo out. And then there's just a little wink again at Spiral.
Spiral, yeah.
Who's that?
Well, I mean, you've seen Spiral before in the previous Mojo episodes from the original series. Spiral is just... Shoot, you even saw Morph turn into Spiral in the previous episode... When he was looking for people to raise their hands.
Oh, my God.
He turned into Spiral, who has six arms.
Six arms.
And then when no one else raised their hand, you could see him, like, slowly, like...
Really? Oh, my God. There's so
like,
many things
shrink
tucked
into
in there.
The background.
Oh, my God.
I knew that looked familiar.
Yeah.
Good call out.
Spiral, great character.
Well, the fans would kill us if we didn't mention that the final stage of the game ended on Asteroid M. So they fought in Genosha, and then the final stage was Asteroid M against a video game version of Magneto.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's part two. Life.
Part two, life, death.
Life, death.
Yeah, we got a lot of Storm and Forge.
Talk me through it. What we see here? You guys remember? I do. It's like a little bit of a montage situation where he...
Forge is trying to assist Storm in getting her powers back. And as the last episode, a lot of this stuff was pulled directly from the comics. You know, Storm lost her powers. You see Forge putting her through this process of... You know, hey, I want to try and reconnect you to nature. You know, he takes her out to like his ranch or whatever it is, out in the middle of nature. Like, you know, we'll hit you with these beams and, you know, try to call the wind.
Yeah, he does it to her and he's like, give it a go.
Yeah, try and do it. Feel the wind, call the breeze.
And it's like emotional too, right? Like she tries and then she's like, kind of like failing.
It's
and
not happening.
Then she like really, like she gets that she has that such that powerful voice, you mm-hmm. know, and she's like,
wind,
give me the power, you know?
Yeah.
Heed my call, breeze.
And then it's like, all right, this ain't going to work. Let's ride horses as hard as we can.
Yeah. We're not even going to look where we're going.
And almost ride off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then they're
going full speed.
Got like an owl flying around. She's like, I keep seeing this owl flying around. He's like, yep. And he's like, well, I was old friends with Charles Xavier. Look at my pictures on the wall. Who are the pictures?
So we get like the full X-Factor crew.
Yeah, some thrill throwbacks here.
We get Quicksilver. Everybody knows Quicksilver. We got Polaris. We got Strong Guy. We got Havoc. We've got Jamie Madrix, the Multiple Man. We get Wolfsbane, Rain Sinclair. I think that was it.
And Forge was there with like
Forge
this original
was there.
Crew. You get
this
like the picture
like his,
of him and
his team.
He's got the ponytail.
We saw this team in action in the original series.
Yep.
And if you remember, Storm was not in that episode. And that's why Storm does not know who Forge is.
Yeah. It seems like she should have like picked up the phone and been like, hey, what happened?
Hey, do you guys know this Forge guy?
Yeah. He's trying to get my powers back.
Right. Thanks, Beast.
Yeah, Beast was like, I don't know.
I just abandoned her.
Beast was like, there's no way. There's no way. All right, so.
Stars and garters.
All right, so this episode takes a crazy turn. Like, you start to think, like, they almost, like, cliffhanger you a lot, and you think you're getting cliffhangered.
Yeah.
But it's like a montage, kind of. It's like ride the horses, do the work, try the stuff, try my powers, over and over and over.
Yeah, nothing works. Giant demon owl comes out of nowhere.
I mean, yeah, just jump right to it. Like, she's like, that's it. I'm going to bed. And, like, she's, like, going, she, like, heads up to go to bed, and she's riding the horse again all of a sudden. And then, like, a bird, like, in it, like she falls into the bird and off a cliff, and now she's back at the house. She falls through the ceiling. Forge is like, what happened, Storm? And what's her name?
Aurora.
And she's like, he's like, I don't know. And like in through the door of the house is a giant, the most giant, scary, the most terrifying, honestly.
Yeah.
Owl.
Disgusting.
Demon owl. All
right. And it bites Forge and like poisons him.
Yeah, like it infects him like immediately.
And then it just puts Storm in like to like holds her like this. Yeah. And is like, Storm's like, I like can't get out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I forget what it says. It says something.
Yeah, I think he calls himself the adversary.
He's like, oh, and he goes, I love eating up sadness and like tragedy. So like you're a feast, and I'm gonna eat. And that was the end.
Yeah, that was it.
What are we watching?
Yeah,
this is the X-Men show. Who was that?
Okay, so I've got one of two theories here. It's either the Shadow King, or this is just her psyche trying to deal with the loss of her powers. And this might be her powers. Like, if she can beat this, then she gets control.
She'll get her powers back.
And get her powers
back. It might be just that. And then
it might just be a psychological battle. Like, this might not even be something that really took place.
What? Okay.
This could be, like, some sort of dreamscape fight.
What do you think's gonna happen with Storm? Do you know what's gonna happen?
I know. Yeah, she gets her powers back.
Okay, so she's. Yeah, I know. It's like All right, so without knowing, I feel like she gets her powers back and some. Like, I feel like she's going to be, like, stronger than ever.
For
like,
sure.
It's going to be, like...
I don't know for sure that she may be an Omega-level mutant, which is, like...
Which they've already, like, clarified. They already, like...
Yeah.
They said that in the first episode, I think.
She's top class.
So I feel like she comes back with her powers again, and it's going to be, like, a different, like, even a version of Storm that's higher power. I feel like that's where it's headed.
Bring it on.
All right, what did you think? Awesome. What did you think of that episode?
Yeah, it felt comparatively kind of like a filler episode, sort of. Like, I really was just really huge on, like, the throwback video game part of it, and like, they're kind of advancing these two storylines, but we all want to get back to I think, the Scott, the Cable, and the Jean Grey situation and see what's going on here. But, honestly, it was still awesome. Like, this, it was just, like, the nostalgia throwback was, like, overwhelming almost, because, like, we're already talking about... You get the theme song, and then you got video games. It's like, damn, I am a child right now, living in a 36-year-old man's body.
Yeah, and they mention Gene and Scott are at the UN.
Yeah.
Genosha's, like, being
politics, like, we're, you know, because all that stuff with Magneto happened as well.
He got pardoned.
Yeah.
And Genosha gets to be a country.
It's like, we're still fighting for mutant rights here. Let's not get distracted.
And it's happening. Yeah. And it's happening. I gotta get me one of those mugs that they're drinking out of in the show.
Yeah,
their coffee Xbox mugs. They've been in, like, multiple episodes.
Oh,
and they're marketing. Like, I'm like, they're selling these mugs.
What is it? Just like
it's
X-Men
a blue
mug
with the X-Men logo, okay. The round X, and it's like red, and it's just like with the red and the yellow.
It's got to be available somewhere. Someone's check Etsy right now.
Etsy.
Check Etsy. Someone has made these mugs.
They're out there.
Oh, for sure.
All right, so we'll get more of that. What else have been tugged on? We're like, more villains. Like, we haven't gotten hardly any of the X-Men villains.
I think everybody's looking for a payoff to the Morph Wolverine
shower scene. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, you want to scratch your back again
in the places you can't reach or something like that.
And then there's the Rogue Magneto Gambit love triangle.
Oh my God! Yeah. More sexy grandpa.
Silver Fox.
What are we missing, though? Like, as an X-Men fan, or like, are you like, all right, where's the Wolverine?
We've got to get, like, a Logan-centric episode here soon.
Probably, like, a Logan episode happening at some point.
And then you would imagine by the end of this season, Cable steps through the gateway with Bishop.
Maybe even, like, a part one of the last series or something. They usually do a pretty... I mean, the part one, part two, three in the end is going to be epic.
Because, you know, I don't know that anyone ever addressed in the original series who Cable is.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. I don't think they did. He was just... He would tell his story, but it was always from the mindset of, like, I've been here forever.
Right.
And he
talked to, like, the computer in his head when he showed up the first time, and they were like, this is Scott Summers and Jean Grey, and he was like, yeah, I know who they are.
Yeah.
But I don't think they ever went any deeper than that.
Cable has a son? Right? I mean, from the original series.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I forget which season, but he's got a kid.
I know in the comic books he has.
Does that mean we're going to have two sexy grandpas?
He has
Cable's kid.
A daughter, but not really a daughter.
Oh, you mean Cable being grandpa?
No, Scott. That would mean Scott Summers is a grandpa.
Oh, he'd be
a young, sexy grandpa.
Oh, Scott Summers? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I think we're waiting for a lot of stuff here.
We'll get,
my question is, when they get to season two, do they change it to X-Men 98?
I think you just keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of like a weird title to have the year mark, but it's kind of cool.
Right,
like, it's kind of cool, though, if it, like, keeps,
like,
counting.
Like, we know what it means, but in 5 years, is it still going to be X-Men 97?
It's like, two.
Right.
You know,
X-Men 02.
It's like the X-Men are now having to deal with 9/11.
They're going through their emo phase.
They're like, Y2K?
It's for mutants, too.
That's a whole season. Like,
The
computers are going to shut down, Charles.
X-Men 99. Yeah, I mean, all right, so that's something, right? Charles will be back.
Oh, 100% Charles is coming back.
You think it's like...
These people don't die.
They don't care about that in this. It's an animated show.
Yeah.
I think...
He's been off in space with Lalandra.
Yeah.
You know,
that was
something.
They called her at the end of season 5.
Yeah.
I feel like this finale will be so big. I feel like we're gonna get some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm WandaVisioning part episode.
This is how it gets when these things are good. In the heat of the moment, you think that everything's gonna happen, but I just do have a feeling that we're gonna get some epic crossovers, and that they're like, just watch.
Something 100% unexpected is gonna happen,
and it is gonna be kind of cool, like to see like if there is a Spider-Man in this show.
Like, we're gonna get something weird, I think. Like, Star-Lord's gonna show up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man,
you know,
like,
something that you never even think of.
See, but we're getting crazy.
Like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. Just like an alternate,
like somebody who's never in
a
the
new cartoon or new animated series,
never in the original show,
like an Eternal or something.
Yeah.
I feel like they had some Eternals.
The Guardians of the Galaxy showed up.
They can't,
you know, or the X-Men go to space and they run into Nova.
Or like Thanos.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Like a Thanos death story would be cool. But like, we're getting too crazy. These are the X-Men.
Do we get X-Force? Does Cable show back up?
Yeah.
And start X-Force and we get like Deadpool?
Okay. I have been thinking that Deadpool would be kind of the one that they're like, all right. Like, because they've gone kind of adult on this and maybe they could just like bleep him out.
Oh, for sure. We could get some fourth wall breaking where he turns and starts talking to the audience.
What if it was Ryan Reynolds?
I could see any of these things happening for real.
Yeah.
They always seem to, like, with What If, a lot of the themes of the show seem to, like, feed into things that happen later in the movies. So maybe that's kind of what they're doing here. But that's a theory. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're obviously loving it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like we can
watch it and then rewatch it.
Yeah.
And then you watch a breakdown and then you rewatch it again next week.
Yeah. Shout out you were watching
Screen Crush.
Yeah,
I always watch Screen Crush.
I always like Loopers. I think Looper is always doing some good recap videos. And hopefully you're liking these episodes of The Snack on Most of Superheroes, X-Men 97. Four episodes in, six to go, weekly breakdowns. I mean, it's just fun to have something to talk about for a while. Like, we've done these weekly breakdowns on shows before where it's just not as fun. And it's like, okay, this is not that. This is like high energy.
Yeah.
These episodes are colorful, bright, action-packed, 25 minutes. Can't wait for episode five.
Five.
We'll do it again.
Sit there and talk about it for 25 minutes, too. That's how good they are.
That's it. Yeah, we talk about every second of it. I think we got it all, too. I don't think we're missing any big story points.
No.
We'll pick it up next week. That's The Snack, Most Superheroes. Thanks for tuning in. Mostly Superheroes is proud to be funded in part by our sponsors. Mostly Superheroes is funded in part by paying patrons who receive early, ad-free, and exclusive episodes. Subscribe at mostlysuperheroes.com/support. Thank you for supporting your favorite independent podcast. Mostly Superheroes is an independent podcast owned and operated by Kerrigan Ventures in St. Louis, Missouri. Hosted by Logan Janis, Andy Hun, and Scott Swearingen. Brand and creative by Carrie Clark Design. Music by Audionautix. Learn more at audionautix.com. Find more at mostlysuperheroes.com.